Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
We have Jeff and Damon, and they're in from the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire Service. So, first of all, we're going to speak to Jeff.
Thanks for having us back again. It's a little monthly slot, if you like. Once again, it's the first Tuesday of the month, so I'd remind everybody, test it Tuesday. Please check your smoke alarm,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Make sure it's working, press the button, and if it makes a noise, then it's working. If it's not, then either replace the battery or replace the alarm.
Yep.
We've got a couple of things I want to talk about today, a couple of themes for this month. First theme really is on smoking. I'm not here to tell people whether they should or should not smoke, but some general advice really about smoking. It's still a major cause of house fires. Every year there's about 2,800
wow.
house fires throughout
really?
The UK.
Wow.
Some of those, unfortunately, are fatal. So we need to do everything we can to try and prevent those. Again, if you've got a working smoke alarm, obviously that will help and give you a bit of an early warning. But if you do smoke, then... you know, smoke outside when you can, if you can. If you can't, for whatever reason, then please make sure you have a proper ashtray and make sure you put your cigarettes out. Make sure they're completely out before you go to bed.
Absolutely.
The other thing is, please don't allow your ashtray to overflow or get too full. Empty it on a regular basis. And don't smoke in bed. People do smoke in bed.
And
we
Fred
would advise against
bed,
that if you
it?
Can.
Poor old Fred smoked in bed.
Yes. But it is a very dangerous thing to
it
do.
Is.
It certainly is, certainly is. And the other thing is, as well, if you've got small children about, please keep your matches and lighters in a high place or hidden away from children, because they are very inquisitive and they will get hold of it and they will try and copy what they've seen mum and dad do.
Of course, yes.
And that's how we have some fires start within the home. The other sort of theme, really, is... candle safety. This month, obviously, we've got Easter coming up, and also it's a month of Ramadan. So, you know, candles are used in services. Please, if you use a candle, make sure it's in a proper holder.
Mm-hmm.
Always make sure they're on a hard surface. And again, never leave them unattended, and make sure they're out before you go to bed.
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
We
and
did
don't put them near a curtain.
Yeah, no, we did attend a couple of years ago. We did attend a house fire where somebody used one of these tea light candles and they put it on top of their television. And, of course, they get very hot. And as they burn down, the metal gets hot and it melted the television case and it actually fell inside the television.
Ooh,
and obviously
nasty.
Caught that on fire. So, they look very pretty, but they are very dangerous things.
Yes.
I would always say, if you want tea lights, get those little battery-operated ones. They look just as good.
Oh, they're brilliant. Yeah,
they're
absolutely
completely
brilliant.
Safe.
They are really good, and they do last a long time. You know, whether LED, they do last
They last a lot longer than a tea light.
They certainly do. They certainly do. And just to remind everybody, again, about our safe and well visits, we will come in and do a safe and well home fire safety check at your property. There is a criteria. We would love to visit everybody, but we can't. But if you're over 65 or you have a cognitive or physical impairment or a sensory impairment, please get in touch and we will come out and do a free home fire safety visit for you.
So would they get in touch?
There's a number of ways. They can do it online at hantsfire.gov. There is an online referral form on there. Just fill it out and it will go through to us. Or they can telephone. The telephone number is 023 8064 4000.
Okay.
Great.
Good stuff. So
thank you.
So we say over 65, hand up. Cognitive impairment, so I've got hearing aids.
Hey.
But you can have a working smoke alarm, you can't hear it. You can't hear it.
No,
There are visual smoke alarms as well, because I used to work with a lot of deaf people.
Right. We do refer people to, it used to be the RNID, they've just changed their name to White Sound now.
Yes.
So we refer people if they're hard of hearing. And they get a vibrating pad that goes underneath their pillow at night time or underneath their mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a strobe light as well on their sort of bedside table.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if the alarm goes off, they've got the visual and the actual the physical feel of the alarm going off.
So don't think, I can't do it if she's grand or she's deaf, she'll never hear a fire alarm. There's stuff that can be done. So contact them.
Exactly.
023 8064 4000.
That's
and that
correct.
Will do the job. Or hantsfire.gov.
Yes.
Anyway, we got to the second part of our guest this afternoon.
We have the lovely young Damon to tell us about stuff.
Good afternoon, Damon.
Good afternoon. It's been a long time since I've been called lovely and young, but thank you very much for that.
So you're in the training area of the local fire service.
Yeah, that's right. For the past few years, we've been in what we call operational training.
Mm-hmm.
So that's training people to fight fires, carry out rescues. And more recently, I'm now in the community safety training element,
mm-hmm.
which is in mainly to do with fire safety, so prevention of fires and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So do you train other firefighters or do you train the public or both?
It's in service personnel, so other firefighters,
right.
is the part of this role. So yeah, it's all what we do inside, and a lot of what people don't see, because you will see the fire engines out on the road, but you very rarely see what goes on behind the scenes.
Can you explain something that goes on behind the scenes?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Jeff did a really good pricey then of reminders for things about fire safety, and the one thing about the fire service that's really good is, you know, every day you come to work, whatever you're doing is contributing in some way to either preventing or mitigating an emergency.
Okay.
And so the most important thing for our people is that we're all on the top of our game all the time,
mm-hmm.
whether your job is putting up ladders, fighting fires, doing that sort of thing, or going out as an inspector to prevent fires. So your training will always hinge on the things, the skills that you need to be best at.
Okay.
And for our frontline firefighters, then that just means, you know, an almost endless round of training. Your training never ends. You have to keep those skills up together, because fortunately we don't get fires every day, so you don't get to do the real thing every day. So you have to practice for it.
Yeah. And, of course, the things you might have to do change regularly, don't they? In terms of a few years ago, houses were full of video cassettes, which were one particular flammable thing, and now they're not. They've probably got something else. And then cars have moved from liquid fuel to electric. So things change. You need different techniques.
Oh, massively, yeah. I mean, if you look at houses, so you go back to houses, as you just said at the start, in the past we had houses with lath and plaster ceilings, which were notorious for coming down on your head. So the first thing you'd do before you enter a property where there was a fire like that was use a tool that we still got today called the ceiling hook, to bring the ceiling down before it fell on you.
Right.
But what we were inadvertently doing and not aware of at the time was allowing the hot fire gases to escape up through the ceiling and ultimately out of the building. When they changed buildings and started using lots of plasterboard, you didn't need to hook the ceilings down. But all of those hot fire gases are now trapped inside, and that's why we now get things called backdraft.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you go in a room that's been starved of oxygen and the fire appears to have receded, but it could actually still be very potent, and then you reintroduce oxygen, that in the past that wouldn't have happened because of the type of building. Mm. So every time there's an advance in building construction, it changes firefighters' risks.
There's a lot of houses now are built solely of wood.
Yeah, timber framed buildings. They
doesn't help, does it?
Well, they do if they're built correctly. Right. Because if they've got the fire stopping where they should have.
Right, yeah.
But you can't hang your hat on that when you turn up to a job, so you've got to be thorough.
No. And things, we don't have too much on the island, but there's industrial processes that have chemicals and such associated with them. They also need special handling.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. And that's probably for all of us, and I'll put my own hand up to this one. It's one of those areas you really hope you don't have to mix up in, because there's a lot of variables when you're dealing with hazmat, you know, hazardous materials. Mm. And you've got to be, you know, particularly switched on and make sure that you consider the risk before you send anyone too close to any of those.
Yeah, I bet.
So the training is, some of it's classroom-based and some of it's practical, I presume?
Yeah, a bit of both. I mean, it's probably more classroom these days than it was certainly when I joined in the mid-90s. But that's probably about right, because a lot of things have changed.
Mm.
And you've got more theories to kind of get across before you actually do the practical stuff.
Yeah.
But the practical stuff, there's always going to be a place for that.
I mean, that's why all those fire stations have got those towers, presumably, to practice ladders and things.
Yeah, you can't get away from that. That's always going to be a part of the job. Yeah. And running hose and squirting water, those things haven't changed since, well, a long time before my day.
But you can't just pick up a hose, though, can you? I mean, you must have to have a technique, otherwise it's going to
fling itself all over the place. Yeah, things that become second nature. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a proper way to carry a hose, to unroll it, to roll it back up, and
I mean, those things are powerful. They'll knock you over if you don't stand the right way, I'm sure.
Yeah, you do have to be careful.
So you train people from across the island or from across the island and the mainland, or is it just your local station?
That's a really good question. I mean, like I say, my role has changed now, so I'm working in a much bigger environment since we've become part of Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire Rescue Service. So I work with people on the mainland as well, but that's within the community safety sort of fire protection area, so it's quite different. The training area on the island, which is at Ryde, the training centre, I should say, tends to cater mainly just for island people, because it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But having said that, there's still a lot more travel to and from the Solent in both directions now, as part of this sort of shared knowledge as much as sharing the facilities.
Yeah.
So you're now training the people who go around and maybe inspect buildings to look at what the fire precautions are, whether they've been done properly.
Yeah, well, I don't train them, but I certainly arrange for their training.
Oh, right, okay, fair enough. Yeah, because the old fire inspector, I used to do that years ago when I worked for a different company, and they used to come around and say, you need a fire extinguisher there, there's a fire exit sign there, that sort of stuff. All good stuff.
But, yeah. It's changed quite a bit since then, because when they brought out the new order in 2005, now it's more the onus is on the business, proprietor to make their own decision.
So the public wouldn't necessarily come across you in their everyday work or in interaction with the fire service, but your influence is behind all the guys and girls out there that have...
And that's, that's kind of how things work. You've got this like a pyramid effect, isn't it? You've got the point of the pyramid that you see out there doing the job, but there's so much underneath it. There's the foundation to it all.
There is indeed. Well, thank you for that. That's really interesting to find.
It's fascinating.
Obviously, you can't just sort of rock up and say, I'm going to be a firefighter. You need to be trained properly. But and the training's in different areas, community safety, actual practical stuff, and lots and lots of theory. Fascinating.
That's right.
Thank you, Damon.
You're welcome.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing at vectisradio.fm.